Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
After we get saved, we are supposed to work for the Lord. However, we have to know what works. And you know, today's ministries have found what works for them. Yet I'm afraid that they've determined what works pragmatically and not scripturally. In other words, they're achieving their ends, and therefore they believe that their means must be good. But I don't agree. Working for the Lord is spiritual work, and therefore it must be done God's way. And God shows us clearly in the New Testament what works. And if we'll follow what works, and if we follow what He shows us, then whatever we accomplish in the work of God is going to be pleasing to God, and it's going to be fruitful. So today what we're going to do is we're going to go through and we're going to look at the scriptures in the New Testament that show us what works. And you're going to find that these things are not a business plan. They're not a business model. You know, they're not a ministry outline. They are plain and they are simple, and they are extremely powerful. Here's what works. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, watch it, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2 shows us, it is God which worketh in you. God is in you. When you get saved, the Lord God is in you. And God has a plan for your life. He wants to work through you to accomplish His plan according to His will and for His pleasure. You know, in other words, with God in you, He wants you to be a willing vessel, yielded to His power, yielded to His presence, yielded to His plan, yielded to His pleasure, yielded to His will, so that whatever He wants to do, He can do through you. And the beauty is that you and I find the greatest joy and the greatest satisfaction in our lives when God is able to work His will through us. Did you know that when Jesus Christ was here in His earthly ministry, God worked through Him? Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and look at verse 10. Jesus Christ is having His discourse with the disciples, and He says in John chapter 14, verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." Do you see that? Jesus Christ admitted that He was a vessel in through whom the Father could do what He wanted to do. And you know that it's true, because when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, you know, if it's possible that this cup may be taken away from me, I'm paraphrasing, then okay, but, you know, if not, not my will, but thine be done. And I mean, Jesus Christ did some powerful works. You see the great works that He did. He even said in John chapter 5, listen, if you don't believe me, believe the works. Because those are only works that God could do. Nicodemus knew that in John chapter 3. He said, no man can do the works that thou doest except, you know, God sent him. And in John chapter 9, when that blind man got healed, he said, look, I don't know. You know, you guys keep calling him a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but I'll tell you this. It's never been heard. No one has ever healed a man that was born blind. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Those were God's works in Jesus Christ. And you know what he told us? Listen, Jesus Christ told us that we would do those kinds of works and greater, because God is working in us too. Look in verse 12 of John chapter 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then he shows you in that same passage that God would manifest himself to them, and the Lord would manifest himself to them, and, you know, they would be in the Father, and the Father would be in you. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he says in another place, and we will come and manifest ourselves unto you. You say, how is that? That is the supernatural presence of God in your life and in my life, working through us to accomplish his will, his plan, his pleasure. You want to know what works? I'll tell you what works. God works. That is, if you can humble yourself enough to yield yourself to God so he can do what he wants to through you, you'll be happy and he'll be pleased. And all the power that's needed resides with him. You don't have to worry about the right model or the right ministry plan. God knows. You want to know something else that works? I'll show you. The Word works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Word works. Paul, when he went to the Thessalonians, preached to them, and he said, I want to tell you something. I am really glad you understand that what I'm preaching is the Word of God, not the Word of man. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, watch it, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, he said, once you received this Word of God, you believed it, and this Word of God works effectually also in you that believe. Just like it's working in us, it works in you. That is a beautiful passage of Scripture. You see, that Word of God will change you. I was sitting with a number of preachers at another preacher's ordination, and one of the preachers said, why do you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? That young preacher looked at him and he said, because it changed my life. The Word of God will change you. The Word of God cleanses you. Now are you clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you, Jesus Christ said. It gives you wisdom. It gives you understanding. It guides you. It directs you. I'll tell you what it does. It brings forth fruit in your life. You ever seen that parable of the sower and the seed, where the seed, which is the Word of God, gets down into a good and honest heart and brings forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold? That Word of God is powerful, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 will show you something about this mighty powerful Word of God. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:17. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. You want to know how to get something done for God? Get that Bible in you. I mean it. If you try to work for God without the Word of God working in you, you are wasting your time. I was teaching Sunday school in a Methodist church many years ago, and all I was doing was regurgitating lessons that I was hearing taught by another preacher. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't saturated with the Bible, and therefore the work, it was not profitable. And I'll tell you what, too many preachers today just use the Word of God, and they use it to further their own work. In other words, they say, okay, I'm a preacher. I've got a big church. I got to get up here, so I got to turn to the Bible, so they'll at least think I'm in the Bible and pick out some scripture there. I'll tell you what, I'm hearing now that in Sunday schools they're studying authors who have written books on life and life principles and psychology and things like that. They're not studying the Bible anymore in Sunday school. They're going through these books that are written by these authors who have done some work in the Bible or with the Bible. Well, the author's selling more books, and the preachers and teachers aren't having to study anymore. They just go and regurgitate this man's material. Let me tell you something. That's not what works. You may get up a crowd with that, but that's not going to change anybody's life. You know what we need? We need to be saturated with the words of God so that God can use us for His glory. It's like a fellow said one time, he said, it's not how many times you go through the Bible, it's how many times the Bible goes through you. In other words, he says, when you read it, digest it. You know, the crying shame is that there are preachers that are in pulpits today that don't read their Bibles. They don't read through them. It's a struggle for them to get through it one time a year if they get through it that much. That's a shocking thing. When you know that the Word works, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, that the Word works effectually in you that believe. Why would you leave this? You can't. You cannot leave this out of your work. God works. That's what works. The Word works. Let me show you something else that works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 11. The Spirit of God works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts and administrations and operations and things like that in the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. When he says dividing to every man severally as he will, he takes these gifts and he says, okay, here, there's your portion, there's what I want you to do. He severs them out. He divides them out one by one to each one so that each one has a gift to do something in that body. Now, in the body, 1 Corinthians 12:18 tells us, God sets the members in the body as it pleases him. And then through the Spirit of God, he gives us spiritual gifts so that we may function in the body by doing our part. You know why? Because God knows exactly what he wants us to do. So the Holy Spirit divides to each of us severally as he will those gifts that are necessary to the work. It's evident now, and I don't say this boastfully in any way, shape, or form, it is said in humility, God has gifted me to preach and teach. And I would be hopelessly inept as a preacher. I would be hopelessly inept as a teacher if it were not for the Spirit of God working in me. Do you understand that? In other words, no attention to the vessel, all the attention to the Spirit of God. He's the one that directs to the passages. He is the one that strengthens and gives power to the words that are being preached. He's the one that develops the messages as they are being put together. He is the one that picks the timing when these should be broadcast, when they should be preached in church, when they should be taught as lessons in Sunday school. He's the one in charge of all of that. Not this man, not this voice that you're hearing. I'm just the vessel. And I'll tell you something. The Spirit of God works. You see, the two great tragedies in the Lord's work are, first of all, men and women who attempt to do the Lord's work without the Spirit of God. Oh, they may talk about the Spirit. They may mention the Spirit. They may even magnify the Spirit. But they are working, and you can tell it, without the Spirit of God. You see, Paul said when he came to the Corinthians, he said, I'm not going to come to you with words of man's wisdom, with excellency of speech. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to entice you with words of man's wisdom. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to preach in the demonstration of the Spirit and the of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see that? He knew that he had to have the power of the Spirit of God in this preaching, that there was a whole lot more than just spouting off a bunch of words. And the great tragedy is men and women who attempt to do the Lord's work without the Spirit of God. The other great tragedy is those who are working in the body in an area that's outside of their spiritual gifts. In other words, they're a foot trying to work as a hand. It won't work. Both of these tragedies are common in the Lord's work today. I've seen it where men are pastoring. God didn't call them pastor. Men are teaching classes. God didn't call them to teach those classes. They're not gifted for that work. And it's a tragedy because there are people who are trying to get something out of what they're doing in class or in the church, and they're not feeding sheep. And there's no power. And so it doesn't work. You know what works? God works. He's in you, and he has a will for your life, and he wants to accomplish it. The Word works, but you got to get it in you, and you got to believe it. And the Spirit works, but you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God, and you've got to be working in the area of your spiritual gifts. And then something else works. Grace. Grace works. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul said in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, in verse 10 he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored. You see the work? I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see what worked? The grace of God. Paul could not have been effective in the Lord's work if it were not for the grace of God. In his weakness, in his, you know, he says, I am the least of the apostles, not meet to be called an apostle. In that weakness, the grace of God was sufficient and strengthened him. You see, grace is that supernatural supply of God's power that magnifies his strength in our weakness, allowing us to do things for the Lord that are beyond our human capacity. That's what grace is. God's power that magnifies his strength in our weakness, allowing us to do things for the Lord that are beyond our human capacity. Listen, you were saved by grace, and therefore you are to live and work by his grace. And if you don't, you know what's going to happen? You'll quit. When the work gets harder than you can stand, you'll throw in the towel. You'll say, I can't do this. It's too much for me. Did you know something? Jesus never quit. Paul never quit. And I'll tell you this, by God's grace, neither will you, if you do the work by God's grace. You see, God's grace works. That's how Paul did what he did, among other things. And then Titus chapter 3, verse 14, I'll show you something else that works. God works. The Word works when you believe it. The Spirit works when you're filled with Him. Grace works in your time of weakness. And I'll tell you what else works. You. You work. We work. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So, in order to be fruitful, we need to maintain good works. We need to be doing something for the Lord. In other words, with God, with God's grace, with the Bible, and with the Spirit of God in us, we still need to get up and go do our work. God doesn't do it for us. It's like Paul said of Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. He said, "He worketh the work of the Lord." See, we're not robots. We are vessels, but we're vessels through which God works. I'll give you an example. We need to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. You see the work? That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to witness. God doesn't do that for us. We got to go out there and we got to be willing to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's work for us to do. We need to give. The Lord tells us that. He doesn't, you know, make the provision. He uses men. He makes the provision through the gifts of men. He said, "Give, and it should be given unto you. Pressed down, good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." You see, we need to give. We need to attend to preaching and teaching. We need to be actively building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ laid by Paul. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul, in his ministry, said, "I am a wise master builder, and I've laid a foundation," he said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, in verse 11, "That foundation that is laid is Jesus Christ." And then he says this in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "Now if any man build upon this foundation," verse 13, "every man's work shall be made manifest." Verse 14, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, yet shall he be saved, yet so as by fire." You see the work? There's work there, and that work has to do with building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ laid by Paul. You know why you need to do that? Because you and I are going to give account to God at the judgment seat of Christ for our work. That's what you're reading about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I are going to give an account for how we have built upon that foundation. May I tell you something? Jesus isn't building upon that foundation. God is not building upon that foundation. Without us, they want us building upon that foundation, and they want to work through us to get that done. We need to be actively building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. You see it? So we work. Now, we shouldn't work to impress God. Like, I'll find better favor with God if I just go off and do this great thing for Him. We shouldn't work to impress men. Then what we're doing is we're coming up with the idea of the work. We're not yielded to the work that God's trying to do through us. Do you see that? We should work solely because God wants to work through us. That's what pleases God. So what you've seen in this message today from the Scripture is you've seen what works. I mean, if you're going to do something for God, do it God's way. God works, but you got to be yielded to His plan and His will. You don't try to stuff Him into your plan and will. The Word works, but you got to believe it, and you got to receive it, you got to read it. The Spirit works, but you got to be filled with Him. Grace works, but you got to be weak. If you're built up in pride, no grace. You humble yourself, God gives grace to the lowly, to the humble. And then you go to work. doing what God wants you to do. Five things, and boy, they work. Now, before you and I were saved, something else was working in us. You know what was working in us? What was working in us was the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. That's what worked in us. And so I want to say this to you today. If you happen to bump into this broadcast and you've not been saved, in order for this Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience to not work in you, you need to be saved. In other words, if you are being led by a spirit into sin and away from God, and you turn on this broadcast to hear about the Lord, there's a spirit working in you that is working in the children of disobedience. And when you get saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get saved and Jesus Christ takes up residence inside of you, he moves that spirit out. And when you obey the Lord, that spirit does not work in you. God's Holy Spirit works in you. He'll take over, and he will work through you, along with his Spirit, along with his Word, along with his grace. And you will become fruitful in your salvation, and you will be pleasing to God if you will live by what works. That's it. That's it. You either got the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience in you, or you got the Holy Spirit in you. One or the other. And I'm telling you, if you're lost and you'll receive Jesus Christ, he'll put the Holy Spirit in you. He'll get that Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience out of you, and he'll give you something to do for him. And I promise you, I'm speaking firsthand, you'll find a joy and a happiness and a pleasure in the things of the Lord far greater than anything you ever found in this world. Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I know that to be true, absolutely true. So I pray today that what you've heard in this broadcast will be a real help to you. And that if you've been trying to do God's work a different way than what you have now seen from the Scripture works, why don't you go with what works the way God wants to work through you. And God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.